Our next case this morning is numbers 06-2901 and 3252, Eric Joelner, Fish Incorporated, doing business as Extreme Entertainment against the Village of Washington Park, Illinois. Mr. Gutnick.
May it please the court, counsel. Nothing like a little bit of freedom of speech to break up a day of criminal appeals. My name is Tim Gutzkonecht, and I represent the appellant in this case, the Village of Washington Park, Illinois. This appeal follows a trial wherein the district court struck down my client's sexually oriented business ordinance as unconstitutional on its face. Based on this court's well-established precedent, the district court's ruling striking that down was clearly erroneous. This court can only affirm the district court's ruling if it finds that under no set of circumstances exists under which this ordinance would be valid. And this court cannot make that finding because the ordinance in question is either the same or even less restrictive than ordinances that this court and other courts have found to pass muster in the past. In fact, this case is the ordinance in this case is almost the same as the one in the Ben's Bar Inc. versus Village of Somerset case. And that case from this district set forth in great detail the law that's applicable here, tracing the U.S. Supreme Court decisions.
There seems to be a pattern in the Village of Washington Park with regard to Mr. Joelner, doesn't there? Now that's, is it, it seems to be aimed at him to try to keep him from getting a cabaret operation.
This ordinance, you cannot...
It doesn't stand alone. It was preceded by the last effort by the village to do the same type of thing, right?
Well, the ordinance in question that has been stricken as unconstitutional on its face in no way singles out the appellees in this case and cannot even be construed to be directed simply at them. It's directed at anyone. If Judge Murphy had gone and applied for a license, he would have been under the same in the same situation
as Mr.
Joelner.
What about the four that are existing?
What about them, sir?
Well, they can still serve alcoholic beverages, can't they?
Until such time as there is a sale or transfer of the interest in the business. This is the type of ordinance whereby currently there are those who can serve alcohol, but as time goes on, it is very likely that number will drop because the ordinance defines transfer of license to include situations where the entity holding a license sells a controlling stake in the business. So, if moving forward, there will be fewer and fewer clubs that can serve alcohol.
You think you'll find a lot of sales if they find out they can't sell alcohol?
It may have an effect upon the value of the business, but none of these businesses can go on forever without some sort of change of ownership. So, prospectively speaking, it will be applied.
Did you increase the number of hours they can operate?
I'm sorry?
Did you increase the number of hours that they may operate?
Actually, it decreased the hours slightly.
From what?
But that regulation applies to everyone, all the currently existing licensed clubs as well as Mr. Joelner. The only regulation in there that applies prospectively is the ban on alcohol. The other regulations in there were to take effect after, I believe, 120 days or something to all licensed clubs. So once again, Mr. Joelner's not being singled out.
Does the Village of Washington Park envision other sources of income other than from the cabarets?
While I cannot speak to that personally, I would imagine that the scheme that's been adopted by the village here by slowly eliminating those clubs selling alcohol might have been designed to allow the village to wean itself off of the tax revenues from those clubs, as opposed to a strict ban which would have cut them off pretty dry very quickly. This is the Ben's Bar case, and the Ben's Bar case sets forth the analysis to be followed, which comes from 44 Liquor Mart. It's a four-pronged test. The ordinance will be deemed constitutional if the village is regulating pursuant to a legitimate government power. The ordinance does not completely prohibit adult entertainment. The ordinance is aimed not at the suppression of expression, but rather at combating negative secondary effects, and the ordinance is designed to serve substantial government interests narrowly tailored. The district court found the first two prongs were met. The substance of the district court's order mainly dealt with the third prong and then only cursorily with the fourth prong. And with the third prong, the district court decided that that secondary effects weren't the purpose of this ordinance. And that is clear error, because if you look at the ordinance itself, it goes on for pages about the reasons the ordinance is being adopted. It's being adopted specifically for secondary effects, not to prohibit speech. In fact, very little speech is being prohibited by this ordinance. It's mostly being regulated. So in the stated, with the stated purpose of battling secondary effects, and it cites 21 court cases, including the Benz Bar case, dealing with those secondary effects. It cites 20 studies from different municipalities around the country dealing with secondary effects. The Andy's Restaurant and Lounge case from this district says that the village may rely on prior court opinions. That's exactly what my client did. The Benz Bar case cited some of these same studies. This is almost the same ordinance as in Benz Bar, and you upheld that ordinance. The only difference is that was a complete ban on alcohol. This is a prospective ban that will take longer to reach a complete ban. The district court faulted the village for not conducting its own study. Once again, the Benz Bar case, citing City of Renton versus Playtime Theater, says a village has no duty to conduct its own studies. It may rely on other studies. It may rely on court cases. That's what my client did. And that's so the district court made the same mistake as the plaintiff in Benz Bar. That argument was made there. It was rejected by this court. The district court also said that it doubted that this plan or this ordinance would have the desired effect of combating secondary effects. It's improper, though, for the court to strike it down based on its doubts of success. The Benz Bar case citing Young versus American Mini Theater says a village such as my client must be allowed a reasonable opportunity to experiment with ways to combat secondary effects. And the GM Enterprises case says that the district court can't substitute its own judgment for that of the legislators who adopted the ordinance. And one of the main reasons that this needs to be reversed is the plaintiff presented absolutely no evidence at trial that the ordinance would not combat secondary effects. The plaintiff had that burden. The plaintiff didn't do anything about that burden. There's no evidence that says, no, alcohol and sexually oriented businesses do not produce undesired secondary effects. So the plaintiff didn't even meet its burden. You've upheld similar restrictions, and this ordinance should be upheld as well. We would ask that that the district court's ruling be reversed. If there are no questions at this time, I will wait.
Thank you, counsel. We'll hear now from Mr. Herman.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, my name is Bob Herman. There are three reasons why the district court judgment should be affirmed in this case. The first reason is the most obvious, which is regardless of whether this is a good ordinance, a bad ordinance, an indifferent ordinance, it has no discretion in it for the village to deny a license to Mr. Joelner. But in fact, it did that. It did so arbitrarily, it did so capriciously, and it refused to issue any licenses, any adult entertainment licenses, to Mr. Joelner until the district court ordered it to do so. Mr. Joelner has been fighting since 2003 through three court hearings and now the second appeal to get his adult entertainment licenses in the Village of Washington Park, during which time the village granted four additional licenses to the existing adult clubs that weren't even in existence at the time that Mr. Joelner applied for his licenses. There are now, at least at the time of the trial, there were eight functioning adult entertainment businesses, and the mayor of the village admitted in trial that the primary source of revenue for the village was the tax that it received from the adult entertainment industry. So even though the village has no discretion to deny Mr. Joelner his adult business licenses, under the present or even the former ordinance schemes, the village continued to deny, and their denial of the licenses was arbitrary and capricious all by itself. Now, if we look at the ordinance itself, following the analysis in Ben's Bar and following the analysis in RVS LLC, both from this court, the village has failed to demonstrate that the predominant concern motivating the regulation was to ameliorate the negative secondary effects of adult speech. That is proved by the admission of the mayor that he amended the ordinance before its passage to specifically allow for prostitution in the clubs. It had a list of banned acts, and he amended it to allow commercial masturbation in the clubs. That shows you, the district court properly took that as being an indication that the concern of the village was not with the negative secondary effects of adult entertainment, that this ordinance does not pass muster, it is not justifiable as a secondary effect regulation of adult entertainment. As the district court noted rhetorically in its opinion, if the prostitution is allowable under the adult entertainment ordinance, what secondary effect could possibly be too offensive for the board? If you look at the ordinance, even if you go further into the third and fourth prongs of Ben's Bar, and look at whether it serves a substantial government interest, the board's adoption of the ordinance, which is riddled with exceptions, shows that the board wasn't concerned with regulating the secondary effect of the clubs. You look at Gilio versus Ledoux, which is the primary case in this issue. In the case of Gilio, there was an ordinance in the city of Ledoux in Missouri which prohibited all signs, the display of all signs on residential property, and then they proceeded to make 28 exceptions to that rule. The Supreme Court said when the ordinance is swallowed by its exceptions, that is proof in and of itself that there was no compelling government interest, or there couldn't be a compelling government interest in making that regulation. So what's happened here is this is not the Ben's Bar ordinance. Ben's Bar was a complete prohibition on the sale of alcohol in all adult clubs, and I agree that that is enforceable and that is constitutionally valid. However, in this case, the village enacted a bar on alcohol and then proceeded to exempt all of the existing clubs, went so far as to backdate licenses to some of the clubs that had not been licensed prior to the ordinance change, and went so far as to issue prospective licenses to clubs that to this day are not even in operation, they're not even in existence, but they have licenses supposedly under the old ordinance scheme and would be allowed to serve alcohol. So, in effect, the operation of this ordinance is to prohibit allow every adult club to serve alcohol with the exception of Mr. Jolner's operation. What this boils down to is at most the village can show that they're attempting to reduce the number of clubs, which is not allowable, reducing the number of licenses, which is not allowable under Alameda case. You can't reduce the secondary effects by reducing the number of speakers, and that's the only thing that they've accomplished here. So the fact that they don't have a provable government interest, the fact that they don't that they do it in such a way as to eliminate everyone else, but as to allow everyone else to do what they're trying to ban except for Mr. Jolner, and the history of this case in which the village has been fighting Mr. Jolner and Mr. Jolner alone since 2003 for these licenses, and while at the same time allowing everyone else to have a license, shows that the court should affirm the district court judgment in this case, granting the licenses to Mr. Jolner and striking down the ordinance as constitutionally invalid. And if the court has any further questions, I'd be happy to entertain them. Otherwise, Herman, thank you very much.
Mr. Herman, thank you. Commissioner Kaff, you have 2 minutes, sir.
Thank you. First, let me correct something counsel said. My client's ordinance does not permit prostitution. That is an error. there's an argument that it specifically permits masturbation. That is not correct. It just doesn't outlaw it. But that confuses secondary and primary effects. This ordinance is geared at secondary effects. What happens in the club itself is a primary effect. Whether or not Mr. Joelner has been mistreated by my client isn't really why we're here today, or shouldn't be. If the district court had said, Village, you've got to grant him a license, and stop there, that would be different. But no, the district court went beyond that and says, this ordinance is unconstitutional on its face and applies to nobody. And that's where the problem is. If you affirm the district court's striking down of this ordinance, you will have affirmed the striking down of an ordinance that was very carefully crafted, 19 pages, containing much of the same language from many of your cases and Supreme Court cases. So you'll be.
What about the dating of the licenses? Do you dispute counsel's assertion?
The district court did make a finding as to the dating of the licenses. This is a different ordinance than the one that was first up. If Mr. Joelner has been mistreated, the district court should have limited.
Well, I didn't ask about mistreatment of Mr. Joelner. I'm talking about backdating licenses and dating him in advance of the existence of clubs. What about that?
There was evidence on that point. But I don't. That does not make this ordinance unconstitutional as it applies to everyone. The First Amendment, what it comes down to is this. This ordinance itself is not unconstitutional on its face. The First Amendment doesn't entitle Mr. Joelner or anyone else in an adult business and its dancer or its patrons to have alcohol while watching erotic speech. It just doesn't. My client's ordinance doesn't prevent additional clubs from opening up. There can be 20 clubs. That's not the point. It just says no new clubs shall serve alcohol, and that ordinance should be upheld. The judgment of the district court should be reversed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Vidnek. Indeed, our thanks to both counsel in the case.